www.thebestofbrooklyn.com or call toll-free 1-888-558-8482. That's 888-558-8482.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Okay, welcome to another edition of American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner, and I'm speaking to you on Thursday night. Must be the 9th. The 9th of September. Lots of information. Lots going on, and Tim has a lot of information. I don't know whether Aaron's here or not. He didn't check in with me, as he usually does, although they gave out the phone number to call in. Tim, call in. Let's see if Aaron's there. I don't know. at this stage of the game, you're doing a lot of research, and we need to hear what you're doing. Oh, boy. There's a lot of people spending a lot of time sending emails, and that's good. People are active and concerned. Many are. At this stage of the game, that's what's needed, involvement of individuals that are trying to get the word out and the information about what's happening, although you've got to focus on LA 21 in America, LA 21, or Communities 21 is what it's called today. That's very, very important. Very important. And as far as I'm concerned, there isn't anything more important than that. And that's my feeling at this point in time. as everything's being captivated to us by the major press about different directions going on, and Agenda 21's being implemented all around us. No one's paying attention. An individual says, well, actually, it's Tim. By the way, call your bank and see if you can get a loan on property that has a conservation easement or endangered species on it. And he prays for our children. They will never own property, and it will be thanks to their own parents. Ignorance, as I interject. And that is the problem at this point. Boy. Just amazing. Well, I don't hear Tim calling in. I don't hear Aaron here, so I guess we're just flying solo again. What else is new? He states, just in case you didn't realize it, and I haven't read this. I've been out doing chores. In case you didn't realize it, you are promoting the United Nations Agenda 21. That is the UN's plan for world domination. Sustainable development equals population control. Smart growth equals population control. It has nothing to do with what the founders of this country envisioned for us and our property rights. I will fight for the property rights of my neighbors and myself until I draw my last breath. You are promoting world government, and I'm not sure what he's talking about. There's an email previous to this that I haven't covered. The world government you are promoting does not believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which is what this country was founded on. I suggest you dig a little deeper into what you are promoting. That is, unless you don't care if your own children own property or not. The United Nations has no use for our founding documents and our property rights as they are today. And you are promoting the demise of our once great constitutionally limited government or republic. I'm here to stop people like you from sucking in good, unknowing people under the guise of conservation. Conservation in the eyes of what you are promoting means we, the people, will have no more property rights. I'm here to drag what you are doing out into the light of day for all to see what you are promoting. I will fight to the death for my property rights and the property rights of all people in my area, even yours. He states that he will be on the radio as early as this afternoon and tonight to begin exposing what you are doing to promote world government in our area, Red Rock, Texas. We the people have no use for people like you that would give up our right to private property. Conservation easements give up property rights to the federal government forever. I am fixing to expose you and your United Nations Agenda 21. I would be willing to bet that you have absolutely no idea what you are promoting. You have probably never seen, heard of Agenda 21, but you are promoting it. You better study up on what you are really promoting and get ready for scrutiny from all your neighbors. And that's from Tim in Texas. Red Rock. Well, we'll go back an email or two and see what comes up about this. In the meantime, how did all this get started? How did all this engineering get maneuvered to this point? Well, let me put my close-range glasses on. An executive order entitled 11552, and we've done this before, but oh, man, people, you've got to get knowledge so you can get knowledge to other people. There's just no other way around it. So, dated August 26, 1970, providing for details and transfers of federal employees to international organizations. Executive order dated August 26, 1970. It's not that long, and it's worthy of your attention. By virtue of the authority vested in me by Section 301 of Title, I'm not sure what that is, 3 I'm not sure what that title is because this is an old photocopy. And Section 3584 of Title 5, United States Code, and as President of the United States, it is ordered as follows. Section 1, Leadership and Coordination. The Secretary of State shall provide leadership and coordination for the effort of the federal government to increase and improve its participation in international organizations through transfers and details of well-qualified federal employees, and shall develop policies, procedures, and programs consistent with its order to advance and encourage such participation. Now, who is the Secretary of State? Well, whoever it was then was, I think the Secretary of State in 1970 was Henry Kissinger. The Secretary of State right now is Colin Powell. The State Department, what have we been harping on all these weeks and months? So, this is the executive order from August 26, 1970, that puts it into place, number 11552. Section 2, Federal Agency Cooperation. Each agency in the executive branch of the federal government shall, to the maximum extent feasible, and with due regard to its manpower requirements, assist and encourage details and transfers of employees to international organizations by observing the following policies and procedures. Number 1. Vacancies in international organizations shall be brought to the notice of well-qualified agency employees whose abilities and levels of responsibility in the federal service are commensurate with those required to fill such vacancies. Number 2, subject to prior approval of his agency, no leave shall be charged an employee who is absent for a maximum of 3 days for interview for a proposed detail or transfer at the formal request of an international organization or a federal official. An agency may approve official travel for necessary travel within the United States in connection with such as interviews. Number 3, an agency upon request of an appropriate authority shall provide international organizations with detailed assessments of the technical or professional qualifications of individual employees being formally considered for details and transfers to specific positions. Number 4, upon return of an employee to his agency, the agency shall give due consideration to the employee's overall qualifications, including those which may have been acquired during his service with the international organization, in determining the position and grade in which he is reemployed. Oh, my. Section 3, Delegations A, except as otherwise provided in this order, there is hereby delegated to the United States Civil Service Commission the authority vested in the President by action or Sections 3582B and 3584 of Title 5, United States Code. That's where you go, people. Title 5, Title 3, United States Code. Check all this stuff out. B, the following are hereby delegated to the Secretary of State. Number 1, the authority vested in the President by Sections 3343 and 3581, Title 5, United States Code, to determine whether it is in the national interest to extend a detail or transfer of an employee beyond 5 years. Number 2, the authority vested in the President by Section 3582B of Title 5, United States Code, to define and specify pay allowances, quote, pay allowances, post-differential and other monetary benefits, end quote, to be paid by the agency upon reemployment, disability, or death. Number 4, revocation, Executive Order Number 10804 of February 12, 1959, is hereby revoked. Signed, Richard Nixon, August 24th, 1970. So that put all the machinations in place. And that's just the way it is. Well, I'm sorry you couldn't call in, Tim, and I'm looking over your emails as we do the broadcast. Conserving land for people to trust for public land. What is this website? This is an application. Thanks for your interest in the Trust for Public Land. Your information on this form helps us serve you better. I'm primarily interested in TPL's work to conserve and create. TPL is the Trust for Public Land. Conservation for people. TPL people. Trust for Public Land. Do a search on Trust, the Trust for Public Land, listeners. This is us working together. I can't do it myself. It's you and me, everyone listening, getting together and working on these directions that are taking our property away to the point where we'll never be able to own it. Of course, do we own it now? We pretty well documented that this week. Regardless of that fact, which is totally never been covered by anyone to any degree that I know of, and the bankruptcy has been documented by this broadcast. So anyway, they talk about my conservation interest. I'm interested in TPL's work nationally in my state, in my community. You answer one of those three. I'm primarily interested in land conservation in cities, rural areas, suburbs, wilderness areas. You check one or all. I'm primarily interested in TPL's work to conserve and create, and we have a number of them. Parks, greenways, playgrounds, community gardens, coastal lands, historic sites and lands, watersheds for safe drinking, trails, tribal lands, farms and ranches, forests, river corridors. River corridors. Oh, boy. Anyway, this is a questionnaire. And from the Trust and Land, the Trust for Public Land, and they're conserving land for people. But you're not going to be able to own it. And that's the point in the problem. That's why we have these situations today that most aren't paying attention to. So here you see, in the next email, Tim states, this is the United Nations Agenda 21 at work in my area. I'm fixing to stick a big stick in their spokes. That has something to do with motorbikes, people. So this is, once again, the Trust for Public Land, conserving land for people. And this is all very, very interesting. There's phone numbers to contact Benjamin Larkin, Trust for Public Land. Tom Derica, Pines and Prairies Land Trust. That's another one. And here it is, dated February 25th, 2004, out of Bastrop, Texas. Bastrop, listeners. The Trust for Public Land, the TPL, recently transferred 302 acres of forested uplands connecting Bastrop and Lee counties to the Pines and Prairies Land Trust, that's the PPLT, to further protect the region's clean air and conserve habitat for the endangered Houston toad. Oh, boy. Is this not spreading wide and far? Good research, Tim. The land will be dedicated to scientific research and low-impact public recreation opportunities. Low-impact meaning walking. You'll be lucky if you can pedal a bicycle on the land, people. I don't think you'll be able to pedal a bicycle on the land because it's a motorized vehicle. A bicycle in the UN's eyes is a motorized vehicle. Where's the motor? Your body, buddy. Do research on that and see where I fit into that knowledge category. I read it in the past. Low impact. Public recreation. You're talking about, or I'm sure they're talking about, walking. This goes on to state, quote, TPL is thrilled to be a part of the effort to conserve this environmentally and culturally significant site, end quote, said TPL project manager Amy Wanamaker. Continue quoting, the landscape in Bastrop and Lee counties continues to rapidly change due to growth in central Texas. Uh-oh. We look forward to protecting more of these special places through our continued partnership with the Pines and Prairies Land Trust, end quote. Well, you've come across a landmine here, Tim. and a gold mine in itself with information, and that is good. That is good. The tract encompasses two of the Yucca Knobs, or Yakua Knobs, seven unique sandstone-capped mesas that rise 250 feet above the surrounding terrain between the towns of McDade and Lexington. Blanketed in post oak and pine forest, the hills form part of the divide between the Colorado and Brazos River drainages. These hilltops offer views over the surrounding area and are mentioned in different folklore accounts by the famous Texas writer J. Frank Dobie, as well as in historical accounts as far back as when Texas was part of Spain. Oh boy. Let's just turn it all back to Spain anyway. It'll be just the same as giving it to the UN the way it's being engineered now anyway. That is the problem. Quote, this property's beauty and solitude will inspire our communities to value this region's natural wonders, said PPLT President Carrie Knox, another female. People and wildlife will benefit from this anchor preserve for generations to come, end quote. But you'll never be able to own any of it. And how much of it do they want? Huh? Now, let's see where it goes here. Let's see how far we get here. Purchase of this tract was made possible by a settlement following legal actions against Alcoa Aluminum's smelter in Rockdale for violations of the Clean Air Act. Oh, man, boy, do they get you. Do they get you and do they nail you? Do they get you and do they nail you? Once again, purchase of this tract was made possible by a settlement following legal action against Alcoa Aluminum smelter in Rockdale for violations of the Clean Air Act. The lawsuit was lodged by the citizens group Neighbors for Neighbors, national groups Environmental Defense and Public Citizen, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. A federal court decreed that some of the settlement funds be used to protect air quality and extend existing Houston toad habitat of the Lost Pines and Post Oak Savannah areas of Bastrop and Lee counties. The Bastrop County portion of the tract sits within potential Houston toad habitat as designated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in 2000. Remember, we covered some months ago an article that Tim supplied us with the situation of a property owner who fenced off his pond for the Houston toad, thinking he's doing a great thing for the environment. Well, needless to say, he'll never be able to take that fence down. It's not his property anymore, the way it's being engineered. If he ever shot or stepped on or ran over a Houston toad, ooh, he'll be in trouble. And how are they going to find out about it? Well, who knows at this stage of the game? Who knows? The Knobs lent their name to an important area spring that nurtured the community of Knobs Springs in Lee County. With three churches and two cotton mills, Knobs Springs grew to 300 people by 1900. The town flourished up until the First World War. Today, the community still attends the Knobs Springs Baptist Church, founded in 1860. The area figured in the story of the infamous McDade Christmas Day Massacre in 1883. The Trust for Public Land is a national nonprofit land conservation organization that conserves land for people to enjoy as parks, gardens, and other natural places, ensuring livable communities for generations to come. Not for us to live in, though, mind you, as I interject. Since its founding in 1972, TPL has helped protect more than, oh boy, 1.6 million acres of land in 45 states. In Texas, TPL has protected more than 26,000 acres for communities, including areas in and around Austin, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. The Trust for Public Land depends on the support and generosity of individuals, foundations, and businesses to achieve our Land for People mission. What is that, people? It's a public-private partnership. Perfect example of a public-private partnership. Bottom line. Pines and Prairies Land Trust was founded in 2001 to help landowners protect themselves from unwanted development and to preserve the best open spaces of the region for current and future generations. PPLT developed a conservation easement on a 670-acre ranch in Page in 2003, not far from the Knobs. This conservation easement allowed the landowners to keep it country, quote unquote, keep it country, by specifying how much and what kind of development can occur on the property after they are gone. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Where are they going? So you can visit their website at PPLT. That's Pines and Prairies Land Trust, PPLT.org, for more information. Well, we're getting the picture that Tim supplied us without him having to call in, and that's fine. We're getting it done, and I appreciate you sending that. Oh, man. Where is it going to stop? It's not going to stop. That is the complete problem with the whole situation, listeners. It's not going to stop. And without people getting involved, it's certainly not going to stop. But certainly there's a reasoning behind getting vocal locally. And without that, pretty darn crazy, listeners. With all that's going on around us today, with so much. Now, that sunset clause in the Brady bill or the assault weapons bill is supposed to conclude on the 10th, I believe. That's tomorrow. Apparently, there's not going to be some kind of promoted shooting by the press to keep it in place. However, if Kerry becomes president, or if Kerry was in office, or if Clinton was in office, you better believe that sunset clause would still be in place. Now, I heard on the news that they're not going to vote on it anyway, so it's going to stay in place. The Congress and the Senate, they're not going to vote on it. So that's because there's too many members in the Congress and the Senate that are members of the Third Way, which is another word for communitarianism. And that's the point in the problem. So many aren't paying attention that this more than likely may come about. Oh, let's see here. We have more here, and it's dealing with the free trade area, the Americas. And, let's deal with it upon our return. Lots to do tonight. We'll be back. Turn off that football game, Tim. All you people out there, turn off that football game. Listen in. It's your country, not mine. Well, it's our country. We'll be back.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you. Who are you? That is the question, and the name of the program. To learn what the question means and what the answers are, tune in every Sunday afternoon and Rice McLeod will give you the answers. Who are you? Check the schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for broadcast times. We'll see you then. If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we're back with the broadcast called American Exposé. certainly there's lots going on, and I'm also very concerned about this Department of Peace, this H.R. 2459. No one gave me an update on it, which was introduced, it's the United States Consensus Council Act of 2003 now. Well, does that mean the Department of Peace is no longer? The United States Consensus Council Act of 2003. What in the world is that all about? Oh, boy. Well, what happened to the Department of Peace, H.R. 2459? I don't know. Maybe it already passed into law. Oh, man. Well, that doesn't do us a whole lot of good to find out more about this at this point in time. Let me try something else. Bear with me, listeners, and listen some more. And we see here there are 50 bills from the 108th Congress ranked by relevance on Department of Peace. There's one bill containing my phrase exactly, and now it's called H.R. 1673 in the House to establish the Department of Peace. Okay, it's been reintroduced, in other words. This is the point in the problem, listeners. We've got to pay attention to this stuff because it's further erosion of our rights and freedoms. So it's dated April 8th, 2003. Let's see. What is the status on this baby? Because, you know, as things are being engineered, Homeland Security, and I watched 4 hours of History Channel last night about the World Trade Center. Very convincing propaganda, would I say? I'm not sure how to point to that situation. It's just a tragic time, blamed on Middle Eastern terrorists that may have been there, may not have been there. We don't have any way of determining it. We have to believe what we're told, and that's the problem with our society. That's been our problem from the start. And I kind of got onto a rant and rave today on the shortwave broadcast on the Discount Gold and Silver Hour because we're so stupid. There's probably 20 million or more that aren't, but we accept what happened in Korea. We accept what happened in Vietnam. Vietnam's a communist country now. Korea, we still have troops in Korea. North and South Korea, where's that going to take us? What's going to ultimately happen there? With our State Department being, well, having turned communist in 1960 or so, according to Joan Vion, very, very interesting to realize that people are so dumbed down to what's going on. So Dennis Kucinich introduced the bill regarding the establishment of the Department of Peace. And there's a number of co-sponsors. There's no point in giving you that. Not much has happened to it since May of 2003. That is a good sign. The point being that very important to realize that with Kerry in office, that Department of Peace is going to move forward. Plain and simple. You know? So it's H.R. 1673 now. Department to establish a Department of Peace, and that's a blessing. You have no choice but to support Bush regardless, because that third party candidates are not going to have a chance. We've gone through this before. We've had this happen in the past. And that is a major situation in place. Back in January 31st of 2002, HHS Secretary Tommy Thompson had this statement. This comes from U.S. Newswire, January 31st, 2002. The following is a statement by, once again, Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy G. Thompson. Today we have good news regarding the anthrax vaccine. The Food and Drug Administration has approved the license supplements necessary for the BioPort Corporation to begin routine distribution of licensed anthrax vaccine from its renovated facility. This vaccine meets FDA high standards for safety and efficiency. Wasn't that amazing? This is a while back, but it's still stockpiled somewhere. This vaccine meets FDA high standards for safety and efficiency. FDA is also allowing 3 lots of the vaccine manufactured in the renovated facility to be released today after thorough testing and review. Since BioPort, what happened with BioPort, people, is the only licensed manufacturer of the anthrax vaccine. That's right. Since BioPort is the only licensed manufacturer of the anthrax vaccine, today's approval is especially important. Although the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, does not recommend vaccination for the general public, this product is a critical component in our arsenal against bioterrorism. Nice that they don't recommend the vaccine for the general public. In addition, HHS is aggressively supporting efforts to develop new vaccines and diagnostic tools for the disease agents most likely to be used in a bioterrorism attack. In particular, the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, is moving rapidly in developing a possible new generation anthrax vaccine. As with the existing vaccine, NIH efforts are subject to the rigorous safety and effectiveness standards of the FDA. Coming from Tommy Thompson back in 2002, January 31st. And you know, the vaccine can be mandated under certain circumstances with the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, which states are implementing and passing slowly but surely. That's not a good deal at all. So this other piece of information, which is highly critical, is being distributed by one of our listeners. The first 4 items are very, very important, evidently. I trust this individual, and I haven't read it, so we're all going to hear this together. If you want to preserve your God-given gift of a constitutional republic, oh boy, there's another one bringing it up, just like Tim. He says, then get busy. If you want a satanic New World Order, then do nothing, because Satan and his followers are going for the gusto. It appears by using demonic numerology that on 9/27/2004, the cabal may have a terrorist event for that day. All major events of this type are based on demonic numerology. The above date is 1111 days after 9/11. Interesting. I've seen this in the past. The recent past. The mutts always put the nicest surrounding names on their vilest works. Legislation and treaties which will preserve nature, protect the undocumented workers, give our nation an economic boost with FTAA, give compassionately to the underprivileged, are systematically tearing this nation's heritage to shreds. Here are five sites which put out information back with documentation, included our excerpts from these sites. Well, we have Jeff Bennett, thefederalobserver.com. We have the citizenslobby.com and rbnlive.com. StopTheFTAA.org, DerryBrownfield.com, along with Studio-C, Blogspot.com, BlogSpot.com. Try and get all these dots connected here. Number one, from the Federal Observer, U.S. border control, totalitarianism, actually it's totalization treaty with Mexico. A sellout of America continues. This is urgent. Please read and take action immediately. And here it comes, listeners. A year ago, this organization warned that the Bush administration was planning to do something unthinkable. They were seriously considering signing a pact with Mexico that would give any Mexican who had worked in the U.S., including illegal aliens, full U.S. Social Security benefits paid out of your Social Security trust fund. It seems so far-fetched, we had trouble convincing the Congress that it could happen. A White House spokesman denied our claim that it was on a fast track, stating that the ongoing discussions for totalization were just informal and preliminary. But we knew better. We had obtained a correspondence proving it was on a fast track and had seen plans for erecting a huge new building at the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City just to deal with the swarms of people anticipated to sign up for this raid on our Social Security Trust Fund. Well, it was on fast track just as we said it was, and a few weeks ago the President signed the Totalization Treaty with Mexico. And unless you and I can persuade the Congress to stop it, millions of Mexicans, including illegal aliens, will soon be living it up on your Social Security benefits. And certainly, let's continue. The timing for repealing this outrageous treaty couldn't be worse. The few days we have to repeal this treaty are the same few days preceding the November election, when every congressman is campaigning hard for re-election, and the Congress is seldom in session. In short, it was a very underhanded way to sneak a terrible treaty past the Congress. So, you can go to Jeff Bennett's site and learn more about this. FederalObserver.com. And here from the CitizenLobby.com. Ooh, boy. As Congress returns from its summer and Labor Day recess, there is a growing possibility of several dangerous amnesty bills being snuck through the Senate and House, including the AG Jobs Amnesty Bill and the so-called DREAM Act. Citizens Lobby is launching a new petition drive to stop any and all amnesty legislation, and we'll be targeting those new petitions on top congressional leaders and the White House. Please consider joining us by checking this below link, and that is ccsecure.net. That'll get you there. ccsecure.net. They make a note here, and I might as well cover it. Even if you have signed our petitions before, please sign again and forward this email and these links above to your friends and family. And they have updated the petition to stop amnesty and need thousands of citizens to sign on so we can flood Congress with and the White House. And certainly, listeners, I'm sorry to say, but this is just a formality because of the vassal state of the United Nations system that we're in. And I'm not telling you to give up. Only strength in numbers are going to make a difference. And that is the bottom line. Coming from the Federal Reserver again, the law enforcement, the Local Law Enforcement Enforcement Act of 2003, got all the pros in there: Kennedy, Specter, Daschle, Leahy, Lieberman, Jeffords, Schumer, Charles Schumer. Mrs. Clinton. Ms. Clinton's in here. Oh, boy. I wonder what kind of legislation she's introduced. You know, we still got a Dodd in there. Christopher Dodd, I guess his name is. Mr. Dorgan, Mr. Durbin, Mr. Edwards, Ms. Feinstein. Mrs. Feinstein is in here. Mr. Graham. Scram, Graham. Get out of town, buddy. Inouye. He's still in office? Inouye? You've got to be joking. Mr. Kerry signed on to this bill. He's a sponsor. There's a whole bunch of people in here. Mr. Rockefeller's in here. There's still Jay Rockefeller. He's still in place. You know, the career politicians are just amazing. They're just, what is it like to be a career politician? It's a bill to provide federal assistance to states and local jurisdictions to prosecute hate crimes, listeners. To be enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress. The act may be cited as the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act of 2003. Well, what is the status on this? Someone check it out. Let us know. Email me back. Since that's the only way we can do it. It's S-966. Well, there's the 666 for you people. Oh, the numerology, which I haven't been paying any attention to. I haven't been paying attention to numerology. And I should. But I try and keep it as simple as possible and make it as clean as possible so people won't get confused and roll their eyes up into their heads. And Congress makes the following findings. One, the incidence of violence motivated by the actual or perceived race, color, religion, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, or disability of the victim poses a serious national problem. Well, here they are, flooding the country with foreigners. The migration from the United Nations system that the State Department allows is making this happen. So here you have another direction of the Hegelian dialectic. Bring about the situation, bring about the opposition to the situation, and come in with a solution, all coming from the same source. That is amazing. Number two, such violence disrupts the tranquility and safety of communities and is deeply divisive. There's more on this. But not here. You have to find it for yourselves, people. It's S-966. I hope you take notes when I do shows. Doesn't do me much good if you don't. Doesn't do our country much good if you don't either. Here's StopTheFTAA.org. That's the website, StopTheFTAA.org. FTAA is an all small case. They say the real objective of the FTAA architects is so revolutionary that the proposal is shrouded in deception and misrepresentation. Even the term free trade in the name is a deception, a violation of truth in labeling. And we know that for a fact. What is FTAA? And for all intents and purposes, it is expansion of NAFTA. The deeper examination shows that the real objective of the FTAA's internationalist sponsors is to consolidate power, not to expand prosperity. The FTAA is a raw grab for power disguised as a free trade agreement. The FTAA would bring the nations of this hemisphere, most especially the U.S., under the heel of a new regional authority. The new authority would have none of the checks and balances of the American constitutional system, We don't really have that much, too, when you have NGOs working with the UN system and the State Department. Anyway, I continue to accomplish the globalist goal of economic and political integration. The independence and distinctive legal systems of participating nations would have to disintegrate step by step, as is happening in the European Union. Americans would lose control of their own destiny. In part, that means Americans would lose control of their property, suffer taxation by anti-American socialist bureaucrats, and watch helplessly as standards of justice they had taken for granted, such as the Bill of Rights, are trampled. Meaningful national borders would also cease to exist. And certainly that's the whole point of this NAFTA, GATT, WTO situation as I intervene. The number, the fifth item here. Let's save it for the second hour. I mean, at this point in time, let's just save it for the second hour. As I see here, dated November 26, 2001, from the U.S. Department of State, entitled U.S. Supreme Court Rejects Legal Challenges to NAFTA. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected a legal challenge brought by the U.S. Steelworkers Union to the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, signed in 1992 by the United States, Canada, and Mexico. The court on November 26 declined to hear the case and thus left intact the February 2001 appeals court ruling dismissing the United Steelworkers of America lawsuit against the trade accord. The lawsuit was brought in 1998 by USWA and other opponents of NAFTA, who argued that the agreement should be declared unconstitutional because it was never ratified by two-thirds vote in the Senate. The two-thirds vote is a constitutional requirement for all treaties. See, you're going to get this kind of crap if you get Kerry in office again. A majority vote passed NAFTA. Who was the majority vote to pass NAFTA as it was a 50-50 vote, as I recall? Al Gore. Vice President Al Gore broke the tie and went for it. Went for passing NAFTA. For its part, the U.S. government argued that NAFTA is an executive agreement that does not require Senate ratification as a treaty. NAFTA legislation was approved by simple majorities in both the Senate and House of Representatives in 1993, and the agreement went into effect the following year. A federal judge in Alabama, where the lawsuit was initially filed, ruled for the government in 1999, concluding that the president had the authority to negotiate and conclude NAFTA under so-called fast-track authority granted by Congress. We'll conclude this on the other side and deal with the U.S. military deaths, which I'm certainly not happy to hear about. But who would be? We'll be back for the second hour of American Exposé.